Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Okay, so now what? Don't get me wrong here. It was glorious, it was joyous, it was spirited and wonder-filled at Easter at All Souls a few weeks ago. We prayed and sang with everything we had. It was quite possibly the best joke of my Easter preaching life. And then we went to work the next day and to school, and we made breakfast, we shopped for groceries, we picked up the dry cleaning, we did the laundry. You get the picture. We lived it. As the New Testament scholar Matt Skinner recently put it, Christ is risen. Now what should we do? Well, one of the reasons why our tradition every year tells the stories of those who faced the first weeks after the resurrection generations ago is because those early followers were wondering the same thing. How are we to abide in the physical absence of Jesus? How do we live after the resurrection? How will we come close again amidst the changes and the chances of life? The road to Emmaus. You know, seriously, I feel like we could spend weeks here in this story, but have no fear, we will not. What I'd like to do is to focus on two moments in this story. One moment near the beginning and the other moment near the end. And each of those moments is about seeing, about recognizing, literally knowing again as if for the first time. And so, in all of the drama and the emotion of this story, there is a fascinating question that is buried in our text. And it's these disciples on the run from Jerusalem. So here we are, Luke chapter 24, near the very end of the book. And here today in verse 15, it reads, "While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him." Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Is anyone else here curious about the use of the passive tense? Right? I was, so I looked, and yes, it's in the Greek as well. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. What might this mean? Were kept. The passive tense begs the question, just who is the agent in this moment? Is it God? Is God keeping these disciples from seeing the risen Christ among them? Many over the centuries have understood it in this way, and it's similar to what we hear in the Exodus story. You may remember, Pharaoh's heart is hardened by God, right? It's almost as if God does this to raise the stakes for the Israelites' escape and God's dramatic action. Now, aside from how one might understand this to work, how all that is might influence the hearts and minds of those who walk this earth, for me in this text, the more interesting question is why. What would it mean for us, the created, if God purposefully prevents us from knowing God's self? And does this not just at any time, but especially when we are in times of frustration or fear or in the depths of loss. And any of these could apply to Cleopas and his companion. Does God will this separation? From what I know of Jesus' life and his teachings, especially of his parables, it just doesn't point in that direction. The seed that is thrown on the path is eaten. It does grow up among thorns, but it's not the sower's wish for the seed. The lost son is allowed to wander in a land that is waste, but the father daily scans the horizon for signs of him. It is not God who sows the weeds into the fields of wheat, and even though the sheep do indeed leave the green grass for the places of danger, it is not the good shepherd who leads them there. Now, my sense is that they were kept from knowing Jesus, not due to any divine intent, but from another, perhaps closer source, themselves. Now, as we read this, millennia removed from the road that Sunday, it can be hard for us to remember the pain and the confusion and the fear that was beating in the hearts of those followers in the days after Jesus' death and resurrection. When you get into this story, you wonder, who knows who was on their trail that awe-filled Sunday morning? Yet, given that these Gospels were written for us after the resurrection, always pointing towards that end, when you read this text, when you read this story, it's almost like you want to yell at the screen, right? It's Jesus! Can't you see? It's Jesus! So why don't we recognize the divine among us? What keeps us from seeing, from knowing Jesus? Now, I realize that this simply could have been a narrative device intended to bring the story to its dramatic close at the table in Emmaus. But for me, this experience of those disciples on the road rings true. For I believe that sometimes we are so busy focusing on other things, the groceries, the task list, the classmate or the coworker who just doesn't get it, drama in our family. We're so focused on these things that we cannot see what is right in front of us. You may recall an experiment from a few years ago in which participants watched a video of two groups of people weaving back and forth and passing a basketball to each other. If you never saw it, what happened was the study was about those who were watching the video. And they were told to count the number of passes that those in just the white shirts made to each other. Okay, and so the people in the video were really weaving in and out. It was Harlem Globetrotter-esque. And so you really had to pay close attention to see where the ball was going. And after about a minute, the video ended, and those who had watched it were then asked how many passes they had counted. Now, depending on which study it was either 15 or 16. Then those who ran the experiment asked if they had seen the gorilla cross the screen, beat its chest, and move on. Yes, the gorilla. Now, half of the people who watched this video did not see the gorilla. But it indeed did walk through the groups of people as they were passing the basketballs. Now, it wasn't because these people weren't watching, but because they were so focused on one particular element, their brains simply did not register a student in a gorilla suit walk through and beat their chest and keep moving. What was it that kept the disciples from recognizing Jesus, from knowing him again? Grief? Fear? Despair? What kept them from seeing? Now, these weren't two of the 12. But they were close enough to that inner circle that they knew where the upper room was. They were able to run back to share their story. They had likely been with Jesus for months and maybe even years. You think they would have been able to recognize him. What kept them from seeing? What keeps us from seeing? Sometimes in our lives, in order for us to see, to know, the story needs to be told to us by others, opened up for us. That's why our godly play parables remind us that it's as if parables have doors, that sometimes they don't open and that we need to keep coming back to them, because there will be that one time when we are told that parable again and it will open up to us. Remember that Jesus is the greatest parable of all. Often, friends, our deepest truths are opened up for us by others. It's not that we can't see them. It's that we can't see them. And it takes someone to walk alongside, to tell us these stories, to interpret the dark nights as well as the sunlit mornings. For try as we might, and God knows that in this country more than maybe any other country in the world, we do not and we cannot walk this road alone. This then is one of our post-Easter practices, walking with others, listening deeply and sharing our story together, and being vulnerable enough to allow another to walk with us. There still are those moments, though, when someone walks with us and we do not see. And our focus is drawn in so tight that we cannot see anything around us. And this is what we see with these disciples. Again, there's a moment in our text that makes me wonder, was Jesus really going to go ahead? Right? Was he just going to keep walking? Was this a test? Was this a ruse? One more time, though, I believe that the text is as true as life is. There is always a choice to be made, but the choice is ours. We can, and often we do, choose to walk by. But there was something in the hearts of those disciples that compelled them to invite this man in. It could have been standard Middle Eastern hospitality. It could have been a wish to continue this gripping conversation. But I wonder, especially in the context of Luke's gospel, where Jesus and his friends are eating all the time, I wonder if this was a pattern and the beginning of a post-Easter practice that they were now continuing, perhaps without even realizing it. But it gets us to our final moment, a moment that has captured the imagination of artists throughout centuries, Caravaggio, Rembrandt, many, many others. The disciples have urged this man to stay with them, for it is evening. The day is nearly over. They are at table. He takes bread, blesses, breaks it, gives it. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. The very same words as at the start of the story. But now what was kept hidden is opened. What was not known is known once more. Not only is Jesus alive, but he is present right here and then vanishes. Were our hearts not burning within us, they ask? Is it any wonder why we return week after week to know him once more in this way? Friends, there are lots of reasons why we may not see or we may not come to know. For so often we hide from ourselves and therefore from God. We fear for what is and we fear for what may not be. What if I really give of myself and I'm not met in return? What will I do then? And so we fill our lives, ourselves, with so much clutter, physical, emotional, digital, it is myriad. But we do it in such a way that we cannot see the truth which surrounds us. And yet it does. And so this is the gift. Handed down week to week to week, millennia ago. Easter Sunday and every Sunday, we take this moment when life is stripped down to its simplest, an invitation, a table, bread broken open, shared, taking us where words and thinking alone cannot take us. For in this moment, something in us is broken open. If we can but pay attention, we see that this bush has been burning in front of us all this time, a flame. And we know, again, all that is present in bread, in wine, for us. It is Easter now and forever. And so every Sunday we return. Take, bless, break, give. Look again.